What's up? This is DDM, and thank you for tuning in to Secretary of Shade on WYPR, brought to you by the good folks over at CARE. Make sure you go and shout them out, CARE for Equity, on social media. Well. This is the first episode since the November 5th presidential election. And I, for one, feel bamboozled. Like, you know, for those of you who watch me on YouTube, you know, the night of the election, the day after the election, I was, you know, cursing and saying some unsavory things. These election results feel several ways, right? For some people, this is the greatest result that could have happened. For some people, it feels like we're heading into 1984. For me, I personally felt bamboozled. I felt hoodwinked. I felt like a gotcha kind of moment. And the reason being is because I did not. So first of all, let's relive election night if we can stomach that. Right. I think we got to do that in order to understand the level of devastation that some people in this country felt on November the 6th. So, you know, first of all, that day in particular felt weird to me. I don't know how it felt where you guys are, wherever you may live in these United States, or even if you're listening internationally. But election day, at least in my hometown of Baltimore, felt eerie. The streets were quiet, and some people say, well, it's because the kids were out of school because of the election. No. Kids are out of school in the summertime. Kids are out of school on holidays. It was a different kind of feeling. It was quiet. Like, it was, the streets were like empty. I could have swore I saw a tumbleweed going down one of the streets. It just felt weird. And I early voted. I took advantage of that benefit, so I didn't have to go and do the whole in-person voting on November 5th. You did see people out, like in my neighborhood, at my designated polling stations, you saw people out. But it just felt weird, right? And then polls close. Now, here on the East Coast, polls, at least in my city, polls close around 8 or 9 o'clock p.m. And, you know, I'm watching, you know, different networks for the results. And, you know, at first, you know, things were like hopeful because, a lot of districts are going to report their early voting, you know, results and, you know, things like that. And based on how the 2020 election went, I wasn't super alarmed seeing that much red on the Electoral College map at first. But then it dawned on me, ooh, this isn't looking good. It was a shellacking, for better terms. It was a scalping. It was a mandate. It definitely was a mandate. And I felt blindsided. I felt very blindsided. I don't know how some of you felt. You know, some of you who listen, you know, may have voted for Donald Trump. You know, we have people who listen from all walks of life. But I felt blindsided. And the reason being is because what this election has taught me, and I think it's taught a lot of young people as well, is that never believe what a person says to you, no matter how much virtue signaling they do. Because when we look at that Electoral College map, and even with the popular vote, like, this isn't an instance of 2016 where he lost the popular vote and we could say, oh, the Electoral College is is outdated. It's not fair. And for all intents and purposes, you can still agree with that. I know I agree with that to a certain extent as well. But even with the popular vote, it was a steamroll. And it was at that moment when I saw the election results, and then Kamala conceded like the next day. Like, this was not a long affair at all, as we've seen in previous elections, in the past few elections, where it's been like this drawn out thing. I can't believe people. I mean, I never really believed a lot of people, but this election taught me that people will lie to you in your face, or they won't say anything at all. And see, here's the thing. As a Black queer person, I was really, really reminded that I'm an outlier. You know, I am the outsider. And I say that because when I look at these results, it tells me that a good portion of the American public does not mind atrocities to humanity as long as they are not on the receiving end of them. And it kind of bummed me out. I was a little despondent. And it was like going through the stages of grief. Like, you have this state of shock, but then this state of sadness sets in, and then rage. Baby, I can't tell you how many people I cussed out on the social of medias for like the whole week following this election. I can't tell you how many people I've blocked. I can't tell you how many people, my relationship with them, like, and these are people that I know in real life. Not even, we're going to take social media out of it for a second. But even in real life, my relationship with certain people is just different. And it made me realize now why my grandparents and the generations before I said, it's two things we don't talk about, politics and religion. And this era of America is reinforcing why that's the case. And, you know, we've seen the Project 2025 plan. I've dedicated a whole episode to that. So it becomes an issue of, are people will say, well, I'm voting because I had more money with Trump. And, you know, of course, a lot of people aren't going to do their research and see how fiscal governments work and economies and all of that stuff, right? But there's a certain level of atrocities and a certain level of racism, a certain level of prejudice. And even if you don't even take that into account, the national security risk, niece. But a lot of people voted against that because they wanted cheaper eggs. They wanted better gas tanks. And I get all of those things. But that's a small, like, you a cheap date. No shade. You a cheap date. If all it took was some eggs, cheaper gas, like, you a cheap date. And people will say, you have some people will say, well, I voted because of the genocide in Gaza. I voted because of the way that, you know, Israeli people or Jewish people are being treated in this country in anti-Semitism. And your answer to that was a man who preaches hate, who is openly prejudiced, who is openly sexist, who is openly racist. That's your answer to the people in Gaza being ethnically cleansed and bombed is to elect a man who fashions himself after dictators, who openly preaches hate and sexism. That is the guy that you pick to help you combat xenophobia. Like, you're not serious people. I just want to say, you're not, like, y'all are not serious people. You're just not. And can we just call a thing, right? This all started with Barack Obama. And people will say, well, what do you mean, DDM? I almost feel like if we never had a black president, we wouldn't be here. And the reason why I say that, and here's the thing. I had a woman tell me a few years ago, she said, never tell a white man, a straight white man, the truth. And I said, well, what you mean? She's like, never tell him the truth. And this is coming from a white woman. So it gagged me that she was saying this. And I thought about it, she's like, they can't handle it. And when I look at what's going on in the country, what we're seeing right now is a era that is a definitive response to the first black president, a definitive response to the Me Too movement, a definitive response to LGBTQ rights. This is what this is a this let's call a spade a spade. This is really about a generation of men who feel like their country is being taken away from them, who feel like they're getting the short end of the stick. Never mind the fact that for the entire, 400 years, however many years the United States been around, there has only been one black man as president, one woman as vice in hundreds of years. There's never been a female president. But one 8-year term sent this country into a spiral. And what's being done is we're saying, oh, it's because of the economy. Oh, it's because of wars. Oh, it's because of the border. You know, the border is a big selling point. And when you look at the numbers, and I don't say this as a dig at Barack Obama, but Barack Obama deported about 2.9 million people out of the United States in his first term or like combined, something like that. Donald Trump has only deported 1.5 in his 4 years, and Joe Biden did 1.49. So that whole myth about Democrats being weak on border is just not true. In fact, the Democratic black president sent more people packing than the racist xenophobic president. He sent double the people packing. But perception is reality. And if you sell it to the American public enough, they will believe it. And here's the thing. There are definitely economic challenges, but you were told that. The farmers told you that things were going to get higher. They told you because of climate change that, you know, a lot of folks don't believe in, and the pandemic, that things were going to get rough. And that's not even just in the United States. And that's what's interesting about the United States. Americans are so self-absorbed. They don't even realize that what they're going through and what we're going through here is the same things that people all across the globe are going through and experiencing from the supply chain backups. This is not something that's idiosyncratic to United States living. But to us, it's the end of the world. So our answer to that is to elect a convicted felon who incited an insurrection and basically put a hit out on his own vice president because they wouldn't cheat election results. This is the pillar of truth, because they love to use the word truth. This is the pillar of truth that is going to change the game. an old con with a bad dye job and a wife that don't want him. Congratulations. What did they say? I'll never forget it on Captain America Civil War. Congratulations, America. You're a criminal. That's what we are. And, you know, our friends up north, our nice friends up north, the Canadians said, thanks and good luck. So the Canadian president, his name escapes me, basically is saying, look, we're going to all but suspend immigration for a couple of years because we got to catch up. The PR answer was we have to catch up on the immigration applications that we have already. No, he's not, because if that was the case, you would have ended this. He saw them election results and he was like, girl, we not doing this again. They locking their borders. Okay. So if you thought you was going to run to Canada and you was going to be up in British Columbia and Vancouver and Toronto chilling while the country's on fire, joke's on you, buddy. They said absolutely not. And when you look at the results of this, here's the thing. It's not about, as I sit here in recording this podcast with a young white male who's straight, it's not about making white folks feel guilty about being white folks. Understand, as a black person specifically, like, we are used to dealing with white folks. Nobody, like, this is not new to us, which is why I think overall, like, especially black women are dealing with this well. You know what I'm saying? Like, as well as you can. The people who are going to gag are the people of color who thought that they were an exception to racism, especially in the Latino community. Y'all are going to gag. Y'all are going to gag real bad. To our Muslim friends who decided to withhold votes or voted for Trump, I ain't got nothing for you. Because if you think he going to help you, you're crazy. So when things start to not go your way, I want you to live in that, right? Because we all have choices. And I was reading an article in the Associated Press and with Donald Trump and his tariffs proposal and all of that, some of the farmers who were big supporters of him are already like, well, wait a minute. Like, what are you doing here? Oh, you thought you could dance with the devil and that your feet wasn't going to get hot. Okay, got you. Understand. That's what you thought was going to happen. Now you're gagging already. So when your new iPhone costs about $500 more, when, you know, that container T-shirts for your little T-shirt business becomes unsustainable, make sure you keep that same energy. Now, what's really alarming is that as a result of this election, there is no Democratic majority represented in any branch of government at all. Not in the Supreme Court, not in the House of Representatives, not in the Senate, and of course, not in the White House. So there will be total Republican control, total conservative control of the United States government for at least the next 4 years. And of course, a lot of folks are nervous about that. A lot of LGBTQI folks, IA folks are nervous. You know, they've already started, you know, different organizations have started the process of working on partnered adoptions and, you know, making sure your passport is up to date, your name change documents are all there and all of that. And of course, people are worried about their marriages. I personally don't think, and I could be wrong and I probably will be wrong, but this is me trying to find some slither of optimism. I really don't think that Trump is going to ban gay marriage. I mean, the Supreme Court may. That's going to be the horse of a different color. But the only thing you can do is make sure that your will is intact, your adoption papers are intact, and those things. That's all you can do at this point. So you have that. And then when we look at some of these cabinet picks, child, I had to crack open the whiskey because it was just too much. It was just too much. You look at some of these cabinet picks and, you know, these appointments and you're like, what are you thinking, right? So, of course, the elephant in the room for the Department of Health and Human Services is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Now, you know, what's so interesting about this one is he's definitely two sheets to the wind when it comes to common sense. Conspiracy theorist number one. And Trump wants him to lead that. And this is a man who thinks Wi-Fi gives you cancer and leaky brain. This is a man who doesn't wash his hands regularly because he doesn't believe in germs. This is who you're putting in charge of Health and Human Services, niece. This is also a man who was willing to sell his endorsement. And when I say that, I don't know if some of you noticed or you may have in the midst of so much going on. He was behind the scenes. There was rumors that he was basically selling his endorsement for a cabinet or an appointment position. And this is the man that you're going to put in charge of Health and Human Services. Make America healthy again. Okay. So Michelle Obama had a whole campaign championing fresh foods, exercise, and healthy lifestyle living. She did that. So I'm confused. This is a man who's an anti-vaxxer. I'm like, hey, you know, you don't have to get the vaccine if you don't want to. I feel like that should be your choice. But also, too, I should have the choice to decide whether I want to get it, because I'm not trying to be like Katherine Jackson on the Jackson 5 biography movie with polio limping around the kitchen making mashed potatoes. That's not what I'm trying to do, niece. Then you have Matt Gaetz. Now, Matt Gaetz is that guy, right? It's just like insane, right? Like, Matt Gaetz was investigated by the House Ethics Committee over a possible sexual relationship with a 17-year-old boy who he paid to travel with him, which was this big open secret, and also was accused of paying a minor girl for sex. And this is the person who you are nominating for attorney general. And even Republicans were like, wait a minute, what's going on here? I mean, these are not serious people. These are not serious people. And Matt Gaetz is a big proprietor. If you don't remember, I forget his name, the former speaker, the former Republican Speaker of the House. Matt Gaetz was responsible for that one vote, because, you know, now all you need is one vote to call a count to remove the speaker. Matt Gaetz was one of the chief, if not the chief, proprietor of that. Trump's, you know, appointing his own personal attorneys to the Department of Defense. I mean, it's just a lot. It's a lot. Tulsi Gabbard for intelligence and national security. Are you kidding me? And when you so when I say these things, I say it because people say, well, you shouldn't ruin personal relationships over an election. This isn't George Bush versus Al Gore. Okay? This isn't Bill Clinton versus George Bush. This isn't Mitt Romney versus Obama. That those are elections where you shouldn't ruin personal relationships over election results. This is the case of right and wrong, moral and immoral. And he has a track record. That's the crazy thing. You know what you're getting. And so many women, particularly white women, no shade, voted for Donald Trump. But I remember when Roe versus Wade was overturned, y'all was the main ones on TV speaking out about it. Looking sad. But you going to vote for Donald Trump? Well, you know, I'm going to hold my nose and vote for him. You better hold your uterus too, niece. Because good luck with that. Good luck with that. But the only thing we can do at this point is hope for the best. Pay attention. Stay vigilant. The Democrats have to do some soul searching because they lost a lot of people. Trump was able to skim margins off of the black male vote. He skimmed margins off of the Latino vote. He skimmed margins off of the white female college educated vote. And those margins help give him this election. Democrats, and I'm going to say this. One thing that I do find common with the left, and it's something that I used to speak on and I would get shushed, is you can't talk down on people. No man left behind. You are only as strong as your weakest person. Think about it, right? In school, you don't talk down to a special needs child. You get them the assistance and coaching needed to bring them up to level. The Democrats missed that memo. Also, too, the Democrats, y'all got to start getting a little bit more real. These talking points, and that was the thing that frustrated with me during Kamala's campaign. Now, granted, I'm not going to bash Kamala Harris because that lady only had 107 days to run a presidential campaign. People run campaigns for years. But a lot of the answers, when she answered, because some questions she just didn't answer at all, were so like talking points. They were so rehearsed, right? And that's not what people want. Even though Donald Trump has said absolutely nothing about how he's actually going to enact these plans, I honestly believe Donald Trump isn't going to enact anything. The people behind him, those are the people who scare me. But Democrats have got to start getting real. You've got to start having real conversations and being inclusive, and not just inclusive in a virtue signaling way, but inclusive about, you got to talk to them people in middle America. You got to talk to people outside of those coastal cities, you know, and understand where they're at and what you can do to assist them. But ultimately, you know, the country has spoken, and that's definitive. It's no, well, I think something went south here. I can tell you from my own local election office and in polling places and just seeing how the elections were being handled across the country, the polling place people were not playing. They had it together. Now, we can talk gerrymandering and all of that, but as far as pure election polling venue structure, it was together. The votes came in timely. This was a mandate from America. America wants a certain type of feel back. They want a certain type of energy. They want a certain type of aesthetic. And that's what this said. So the only thing that we can do is enjoy our holiday season if you celebrate the holidays. Do whatever you need to do to make sure that you're comfortable for these next 4 years and hope for the best, because for better or worse, Donald Trump is now the 47th president of these United States of America. Thank you for tuning in to Secretary of Shade on WYPR. My name is DDM. Make sure you follow me on social media at Dapper Dan Midas. You can also follow my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Secretary of Shade. You guys have a happy holiday, and I will see you soon.